We're going to begin in chapter 26, Perek Teshvav, verse Teshvav, Perek Chavvav, Pasuk Teshvav. Chapter 26, verse 15. 1070. Verse 15. I wasn't going to talk about this today, but we have to begin with Moshe Rabbeinu's prayer. The prayer at the end of Yidrei Maaseh, we say, Hashkifa imaon katzachamin hashamayim, katzacharachu, you should look down from your abode in heaven, your holy abode in the heavens, uvarech es amcha es Yisrael, and bless your nation of Israel, ve'esh ha'adama asher nasata lanu, and bless the land that you gave us, ka'asher nishpata la'avoseinu eretz zavas chalav u'divash, as you promised to our forefathers, and Eretz Zavas Chalav U'Divash. So look at Rashi. Hashkifa Mimon Shad Karchecha. Rashi on Teshvav. Second column, halfway down. Hashkifa Mimon Karchecha. Asinu Masha Gazarta Aleinu. We did what you have asked us to do, what you decreed. Aseyata Masha Alecha La Asas. She'amarta Imbuchu Kosai Seilechu. He said, if you will follow in my ways, if you follow in my Torahs, then I will give the rain in this proper time. So another thing that we say in Imbuchu Kosai Seilechu is not just V'nasati Gishmeichem B'itam. No, one second. Here we are. V'sigil Hamdais Batir V'batir Yasiga Zara. It's the important part. You will have enough to eat. And you will live in security in your land. And I will place peace in the land. And you will lie. And you should not tremble. So I don't know if you're following the news today. But there was another. I'm trying very hard not to talk about numbers.
Even for one, does it matter?
What's the difference? Because people aren't numbers. And I'm saying for myself, I'm not giving anybody else a list, but for myself, you know, we always talk about how bad was it. It's bad.
One is bad.
And I wouldn't want to relegate a person, an individual, it was one of the 17 people, Lo Aleinu, the 14 people. No, that's, there's this song that they put out the CD. They put out the CD. Avi Shriver put out this Voices of Israel CD. So one of the songs was written by a group named Blue Fringe, and the song begins, a very sad song. It says, all I feel is numb to the numbers. That's all they are to me now. You heard that song? And so I'm making a very conscious, that song really it affected me greatly. So I make a very conscious effort not to treat the people as numbers. And thank God we haven't had this experience for 6 months. This was the first bombing in 6 months. But we could go a little longer. I could have used 7 months. Could have used 16 months. Could have used 6 years.
Why did they say it erupted again? Is it because of giving the land back?
No, they're trying. They're trying like crazy. They've been trying for 6 months. So the problem is, this one got through. They also think because there's no security fence between between Beersheba, where Beersheba is. They built it up north. They never built it down south. So the Arabs finally got smart. They said, we've got to go down south. I've got to build. We've got to continue to build. Yeah. The illegal land-grabbing security breach. Yeah. Yeah. Fence. Right. Okay. Back to Kisavo. We're in Kisavo. We're not talking about that section. We're talking about the next section, but Hashkiva Mimon Kachacha, we should all pray for the well-being of our brothers and sisters in Israel. Right. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu should gaze down from his holy abode and bring some protection.
I chose that.
Very nice. Although, by the way, there's a condition. What does Rashi say? Rashi says, we did our part, so Kadosh Baruch Hu has to do his part. So if we're going to dive in Hashkifa Mimon Kachacha, if we want God to gaze down and bring peace, then we have to do our part too. It's a deal, as we're going to talk about.
Okay, thank you.
What's that?
Our part is jogging, right?
No, our part is following the Torah. Keeping the mitzvahs. I think sometimes less davening, more keeping mitzvahs. I mean, I'm not saying that a person should daven less, but if you had to focus on one or the other, I would say it's important to focus more on especially interpersonal relationships, how you deal with your family, how you deal with your parents, how you deal with your community members. It's a big push of mine now. It's, you know, it goes in waves.
You're diving all by yourself and communicating and getting along.
That's right.
It's harder.
It is harder.
Much harder than just sitting in your living room
diving. Ah, you got me started. Okay, one second. Good, I'll mention the chinuch today. Yom Hazeh, today, Hashem Elokecha Mitzavcha, I'm on 1070. Pasuk Tesh Zayin. Hashem Elokecha Mitzavcha La'asos Es HaChukim Ha'ela Ve'es HaMishpatim. God is Baruch Hu commanded you to do the chukim, the mishpatim, v'shamarta v'ashisa osam b'chol levavcha u'b'chol nafshecha, and you should guard them and do them with all your heart and with all your soul. Who quoted that last night? Anybody know?
Bush.
Yeah, George W. Bush did. That's right. He said, with all your heart and with all your soul. He's getting very biblical.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In Taylor.
What?
In Taylor. He was in Taylor, Michigan.
You didn't go?
And I heard him just before I left the office. He quoted two psalms.
I had a shear.
One was.
I had a shear.
And the other one was.
You were at the shear.
You should go back to family values.
Must have made an impression on you. Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's a good giant. If Bush, I might have gone if Bush wouldn't compete with me, you know, but I got to choose between. Somebody came and told me.
I told you. I heard it was on the news at about 5:15.
Yeah, he must have done that. He wasn't here to do it in Taylor because
yes,
he wasn't on at 5:15 in Taylor.
Yeah. That's when he was there.
He came late.
No.
He was scheduled to be there at 7. All right, let's go.
Whatever.
As Hashem Hemarta Hayom, Yod Dechar Lelokim, Lelechad Bidrachav. So, Kadosh Baruch Hu, he'emarta. What does he'emarta mean? What is the root of the word he'emarta? Lomar means to say. So, he'emarta means he said about you. How do they translate it? They say God commands you. But it's not commands. How would you say commands? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm looking at the wrong pasuk. My mistake. You're a Zion. You have distinguished Hashem today. He'emarta, to distinguish. That's not such a bad translation. Because lehe amir means to set aside in with language. How would you translate that? To designate with language. God has highlighted today. All right. Liyot lechal elokim, to be a God for you. V'lalechet bidrachav, you will walk in His ways. V'lishmorcha chukav u'mitzvotav u'mishpatav v'lishmor bekolo, and to guard His commandments and His mitzvot and His mishpatim, v'lishmor b'kolo, and to hearken to His voice. Okay? So that's what you're going to do. That's what you do. So what's He going to do for you? V'Hashem hemircha hayom. So God says to you, l'hiyos lo la'am segula kasher diber lach v'lishmor kol mitzvotah. Right? So if you follow the Torah and follow the mitzvot, then, says God, He's going to make you His Am Segula. Pasuk Yud-Ten. Ulekitcha Elyon. Oh, I'm sorry. An Am Segula. Nation of covenant. Segula means a covenantal nation. Segula.
Precious.
Treasured people.
Treasured people.
A purple people. Okay. Ulekitcha Elyon. Alkol Goyim Asher Asal Letihila Uleshem Uletiferet. Make you Elyon. Exalted over all the nations that God made, l'tehila for praise, for renown, and for splendor, am kadosh l'Hashem Elokecha ka'asher diber, a holy nation. So the Or HaChaim has a beautiful, beautiful shot on these two psukim. He says, if you look carefully, you will see it's a covenant, it's a deal between God and the Jewish people. We have to do certain things, and then God does certain things. So he says, if you look carefully, there are six aspects of the covenant between God and the Jewish people. Let's see if we can count them up. Here we are. Says the Or HaChaim. What a nice shot. Yes. What are they? One. Liyos lecha le'elokim. See, look in Pasuk Tesh. and Yud Zayin. As Hashem Hemarta Hayom. One, Liyoslechar Lelokim, right? He will be a God for you, meaning we'll make a God our God. Two, Lalechet Bidrachav, to walk in his ways. Three, Lismor Chukav, to guard his chukim. Four, his mitzvos. Five, his mishpatim. Six, Lismor Bekolo, and to hearken to his voice. Now, what's the difference between all these three different things?
Very
small. Subtle differences. Well, the first one is easy. To make God my God, that's fine. You know, a lot of people that say, oh yeah, I believe in God. Well, how does it affect you? Affect me? What do you do because you believe in God? Do?
Follow his
way. Right. Well,
I'm proud to be a Jew.
Well, there are plenty of people who say, I believe in God, but that's the end of their religion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then it says, V'lalechet bidrachav, to walk in God's ways. We're going to see, what does that mean? What do you think it means to walk in God's ways? To act like a holy person. Okay.
To follow the rules that he puts.
Well, I didn't say that. Doesn't we are going to say to follow the rules. What does it mean to be like God?
To emulate his leader.
Good. We'll see that. Very good. Lishmor, to guard his chukim. Chukim we say are his statutes, unexplained commandments. Mitzvot means his commandments. Mishpatav, God's decrees, those are three. Ulishmoa bekolo. What does that mean? I don't actually know what that means. What does it mean to listen to God's voice? To hearken to God's voice. Anybody have any ideas? Ms. Robert?
Well, we don't hear his voice, so it has to be something conscious.
Whatever. How is that different than following the Torah? Yeah, well, how's that different? To hear God's voice.
But
you're saying it's something different than keeping the Torah. Hearkening to God's voice is different than keeping the Torah. Maybe it would mean...
when you stray, there's a little voice in you.
Being good to others.
I think you shouldn't, and you follow this.
Okay.
You should follow your conscience.
Not your conscience.
No.
God's conscience, right? Yeah. I think what you're trying to get at is to try to divine or to figure out which way God wants you to go. And to walk in the way that you think God will want. Correct. You're making life choices, or you're making decisions, you're following a path. So it's not a question of, you know, is it forbidden or is it permitted, but it's a question of which direction am I moving in. Not in the way of finding God's attributes, but what would God want me to do? How would God want me to behave?
It's interesting also that it starts with the hardest.
I think I hope.
We don't have any reason at all why we keep it. And it gets easier than chukar, mitzvos off.
Yeah?
Yes, the mitzvos, to keep mitzvos is rather, not the hardest.
You don't think so?
Well, I think the difference is maybe more that, you know, chukim and things like that, they're sort of spelled out for you. You don't have to think, what should I do, because you know...
Mm-hmm. Well, I was thinking, actually, when Ms. Robert said that, I was thinking sort of like Ellis was saying.
You have to choose the right thing.
A chok, God said it. If you believe in God, that's easy.
You're going to do it.
That's easier in a way. Oh, God said it? Okay. But all of a sudden, when you know the reason... and you can understand the reason, then all of a sudden you start questioning. You say, well...
Right, and that's when he wants you to choose the right...
Sometimes people have an easier time with
what is effect.
This is what it is. Well, why do you have to do it?
Oh, it's much easier. You don't
right.
think.
Yeah, when you tell your children, why do you have to do it? Because I said so. Right, but that's very different than, why do I have to do it? So you tell your child, because you're tired. You know what your child's going to say?
I'm not tired. At least the door open to your choices or straying away from what it should be.
Correct. I think actually it goes from a little easier to harder. Right? To accept God? Okay, a lot of people have no problem accepting God. Lalechet bidrachav? Everybody wants to emulate God. I want to be like God. Right? That's easy in a way. How is it easy to be like God? To be compassionate, to be forgiving, to be kind. We're going to talk about those different things. Right? Everybody wants to be that. You go around the Jewish community today, Do you think that you act godly? Most people are like, oh yeah, you know, give charity, and you know, that's how they define it. But then you say, ha, yishmor chukav, you keep mitzvot, those are easy. Mitzvotav and mishpatav, that's harder. I think the hardest one, if we're right about what lishmor b'kolo means, the hardest one is lishmor b'kolo, is when you do all these things, a person who does keep the Torah, when they do all these things, it gives them a sense of the direction to go in. It does give you a sense.
Yeah.
Because the Torah isn't just a system of laws and rules and you know, minutia. There's an ethic to it. There's a system of life. And when you're in tune, minutia means small, it's in the little details. And when you're in tune with the ethical values of the Torah, that helps you make choices in life. It helps you make decisions. And I think that's exactly where the Torah is going. Mm-hmm. It's easier to believe in God. A little easier to walk in His ways. Easier to accept, you know, a little harder than to accept His decrees. Then the mitzvot, mishpatim, then the mitzvot are harder. But, you know, the hardest thing to do then is to inculcate that into your personality and become someone who's a person that hears the call. That hears the voice of the Torah that says, you know, I think this is what the Torah wants me to do. This is the direction I'm going to go in my life, in my business world, in my dealings, in raising up my family, in the vacations that I take. You know, should I go here or should I go there? So neither one is a mitzvah or not a mitzvah, but what's going to be the best spiritual opportunity for myself and my family? So that's the small. I have to hear. You have to hear the ethic of the Torah.
Giving charity, you do it because it's an attribute, right? But could people give charity because they sense a payment?
Yeah, that's true too. Everybody does. The Rambam says that. What's the highest level of charity? When you do something for somebody who doesn't know.
Right.
Well, we all have that attitude, I think.
Yeah,
that's not. Yeah. So, and I think that's it's an interesting comment. No, you know something. I don't have any problem with people to give money to put their name on the wall. You know why?
It inspires other people to give.
No, that's not why. Because they gave. I don't care why.
So why can't they give it without putting their name on the wall?
Why should they?
The point is they gave.
That's right.
That's the most important.
That's right. They gave. You know something? If everybody should give the same amount that they give, and then everybody could fetch. You know what I mean? It's how can you complain about somebody who you know, to get your name? No, I'm not saying you. I'm saying to get your name on the wall means you gave, you know, you didn't give $18. So
even if it's like a selfish thing, you want to see your name up there.
Like I said,
a legitimate way of giving.
I don't care why you want to see your name up there.
The bottom
know?
Line is,
yeah.
The money is
yes.
It's up at that time.
Because the patient doesn't make a difference. Wouldn't we be taking one of those things Nicole has, as opposed to going to Disneyland and sit, where you're learning, or those things Nicole has?
I think everybody has to decide what's best for themselves and what's best for their families. But we're always faced with choices.
Mm-hmm.
We're always faced what? You know, we're always faced with choices. We're always faced with decisions. So in my family, we don't go to mixed swimming venues. So if I go to a place where there's going to be beaches galore, it's hard. It's a challenge. It's a struggle. You know, so you have to choose wisely by which place you're gonna end up and where, you know, like every other decision you make in life. You know, what am I going to do tonight? What, you know, where are we going to go? You know, they make all these decisions. You're making a choice based on the ethics that you've inculcated. I want to say this also, I'll add this about Sak Halacha. People think that, oh, you know, I want to make a halachic decision. You know, I want to know what the halacha is. So that nowadays, especially in the age of art scroll, they think you can go to the art scroll, you can open the book, and you can know, you can make decisions. You know, especially nowadays, in today's day and age, you have people that they'll look at specific sources, and even the entirety of the sources on that specific issue, and they'll say, okay, now that I've looked at these sources, I'm educated, I can make a halachic decision based on the sources that I see in front of me. And that's not true. The reason why you need poskim is because the poskim are people who have not just learned the sources on that particular issue. They haven't just gone through the source material. They have inculcated the ethic of the Torah. And those are two very, very different things. It's different saying, well, I looked at X, Y, and Z, and therefore it should be this conclusion. A plus B equals C. Finish? Yeah, but it doesn't work that way. The Torah also has an ethic. And you can't make decisions looking at the specific without having a sense of the broader issue as well. And that comes for any halakhic decision whatsoever. And that's why you need poskim. You need people who really know. You need people who you can trust, who are reliable and who are relied on in the community. I think that nowadays, sometimes a little bit of knowledge is a very dangerous thing.
Yeah.
And you have to look for You have to look for people. The community needs people who have humility to know, you know, I think it's important to know when you can pass in and when you can say, listen, this is beyond me. It's a larger issue. You've got to kick it upstairs. And that's a struggle. It always is a struggle. Okay, let's go on. Oh, wait, now the taco one. Hold on a second. In my hand, I'm holding the Sefer HaChinuch. You've all heard of the Sefer HaChinuch. We've studied it before. So what does it mean, the halachta bidrachav, to walk in God's ways? Well, I'll tell you what it means, because it's written in the Torah. It's one of the mitzvos. One second. One of the mitzvos. Here we are. It says the HaChinuch, lalechet ulehidamot bidarchei Hashem Yisparach. To walk and to be compared to God's ways. HaChinuch says, Shenitztavir la'asos kol ma'aseinu b'derech hayosher v'hatov b'kol kolcheinu. We're commanded to, in all our actions, to go in the proper and the right way. U'lahatos kol dvareinu asher b'einenu u'bein zulateinu al derech hacheset v'harachamin. Right, to do everything we do in a way of compassion and kindness. Okay, and as we know from the Torah, that's the way God acts and that's the way God is. What does it mean? So listen to the words that I'm going to quote you two Gemaras, one in the Chinuch and one not in the Chinuch. Ma HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nikra Rachum. God Himself is compassionate. Avatah Hayei Rachum. You also should be compassionate. Ma HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nikra Chanun. What is HaKadosh Baruch Hu? He's gracious. He's kind. You also should be kind. Ma HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nikra Tzadik, God is righteous, so you also should be righteous. Just like God is Kadosh, so too God is holy, you also should be holy. Okay, what does that mean? Anybody know what that means?
To be holy,
to be righteous, what does that mean? So I'll tell you. Alechad pu'ulot tovot ke'elu, umidot nichbadot asher yisipar behem Hashem yisipar. How do you describe God? So you have to ask yourself, what would God do? You know, there's a bread that I saw in Costco. Anybody see this bread? It's called WWJD bread.
Oh no!
You know what WWJD bread is? That's for?
No.
What would Jay do? Right? Here's the irony. It's Star K Kosher.
Is that like the Ezekiel bread?
At least Ezekiel is in our Bible.
Yeah, I know, but
she
breaks people over bracelets, of these slap bracelets that look like a piece of metal that they, you know, hit and they turn. And
yeah. So, what?
Who would
want to
buy it?
I want to call the Star K and ask him, you know, like, okay, it probably is. I'm sure it's kosher.
Tell him to change the name.
But give me a break, you know.
What would Jews do?
What? That's what it means. What would Jews do? Right. You know, but that's the question. They didn't get that. It's just a brand name. It's moneymaker. They didn't get that from it. You know where they get that from? They got that from here. What would God do? What would HaKadosh Baruch Hu do in this situation? And then you say to yourself, well, you know, he says, Tzadik, righteous and straight and Tamim and pure and Gibor and Chazak and compassionate, all of these things. Right? These are all attributes of God. The problem is, these are all sort of esoteric. You can't get your hands on them. So he says, well, what are the rules, dinim? What are the rules of how do you walk in God's ways? He says the following. Derech chlav, it's a rule of thumb, sheyivchar lo ha'adam b'chol inyanav u'b'chol ma'asav, a person should choose in all of his actions and all of his behaviors, b'im ba'achila, whether eating or drinking, whether in business, whether in learning, whether in davening or speaking, in everything, haderech hatova v'hamimutza'at. That's the important word, mimutza'at. The good way, you know what the root of the word mimutza'at means? Emtza. You have to find the good and the middle way.
Yeah, the middle.
The middle way. What does it mean to be godly? It means don't eat too much, don't eat too little. Don't drink too much, don't drink too little. Now, you don't need to do too much business, don't kill yourself working, but you still have to get a job. You have to work with not too little. Right? Don't daven too much. You spend all day davening, what have you accomplished in the world? You shouldn't daven too little. Shouldn't snooze too much, but you have to have friends. Shouldn't snooze too little. All of these things, the godly way is the golden rule, right? The golden mean.
No, Goldilocks, just right.
What?
The moderation thing is the hardest thing.
That is very hard.
It requires the choice.
It requires discipline.
Right.
Anybody who's gone through a pint of ice cream knows exactly what you're saying. Right?
What?
Pint.
I was watching this thing last night where these two friends were asking each other, do you like the Pringles with the regular or do you like the flavor?
Yes.
So it says, depends if you eat a little or a lot. If you only eat half a can, then you should eat the flavored kind. But if you eat a lot, like a whole can of Pringles,
then the non-flavor.
Right. That's a lot of potato chips, I hate to tell you. Yeah. Okay, so and it's like that in everything, right? It's like that with dieting also. The hardest part of dieting is learning how to stop eating.
Right.
You know, I had a doctor once, I said, I'm going to lose weight. He said, when you burn more calories than you eat, then you're going to lose weight. Not so easy. Learn how to stop. It's everything in life.
Rabbi, you know what the Jewish expression is? Alles is good, get the tamus. Everything is moderate.
Yeah. V'lo yisach rachek el haktavos la'olam. And a person should never be an extremist. You should distance yourself from the extremes, right? You know, you get upset about something, you fly off the handle. You should never fly off the handle. But there are times when a Jew should be angry. You should be angry that 15, 16 Jews were killed today for nothing. That should make you angry. Right? If you don't fly off the handle and go run around and start screaming, you should be angry about that. You dive in for them? Yes. But it's not going to, what's it going to come? You're going to spend the whole time davening. If with everything in the world, that's the middle way. And I think what he's really saying is, the attribute of God that's different than us is that the Kadosh Baruch Hu does everything with God's intellect, God's higher knowledge. We are pulled in different directions by our physicality, if you would call it this, our emotions. Oh, I'm hungry today. I'm upset today. I'm tired today. I'm this today. I'm that today. So you get pulled in all these directions. Kadosh Baruch Hu, God, right down the middle. Right. No problem. It's not being pulled in any direction. Whatever's appropriate, right down the middle. That's trying to be more godlike, to walk in God's ways. Let me give you another interpretation of what it means to walk in God's way, because this is my favorite one. I mentioned it in the speech, but it's good to repeat because it's just good.
Who was the first source again?
The Chinuch, the Sefer HaChinuch. You can get this in English, by the way. You have English set? Four volume set. So worthwhile. It's so worthwhile. If you ever want something to study with your children, or study alone, or study with a study partner, Chinuch is fantastic. It really is fantastic, because it gives you a broader understanding of the mitzvahs that appear. It says the Gemara in Sota. The Gemara says the following. My dichtiv, acharei Hashem Elokeichem teilechu. You should walk after God. Like us, here's what it says. V'halachta bidracha. To walk in God's way. What does it mean? You could walk after the presence of God. It says, God is a consuming fire. You can't walk like God. Give me a break. God is all powerful. He's all knowing. All everything. So what does it mean to walk in God's way? Listen to Midrash. You should walk after the attributes of God. It doesn't mean physically walk after God. It means walk like Him. Walk this way. How? Mahu malbish arumim. God clothed the naked. How do I know? When? Dichtiv, as it's written, Ayash Hashem Elokim la'adam ul'ishto kitnot or v'yabishen. When Adam and Chava were standing there naked in the Garden of Eden, who made them clothes? God Himself did. He didn't hire somebody else to. He didn't send a check. He did it himself. So, ata ha'beish arumi. You also clothed the ship. Clothed the naked. Remember my grandmother. She was a Rebbetzin in Winter, Massachusetts. So there was one of these off the beaten path. She had a habit. She would go to these overstocked places. They used to have like flea markets or whatever it was. And she would buy clothing by the pound. And you used to be able to, I don't know if you can do this still. Whatever was there. What? Salvation Army. That's how she would buy it. She would take it home, and she would sew it up. And she had this porch, and on this porch she kept like a little store. some people would come to the house, and if they would need clothing, she would just go to her porch and pull out whatever she had. You know, she would go to there was a shoe company in Massachusetts, somewhere near Boston, where you would buy the overstocks by the pound. And I remember this, it was all mixed up, so you had to go through the shoes and make pairs. And to find the pairs. What a nightmare, we hated doing that. Right? But that she bought it by the pound so that when people needed shoes, they would have shoes. That's what it means to walk. Walk in the ways of God. Kadosh Baruch Hu biker cholim. God visited the sick. Dichtiv Vayira Hashem Elav Hashem Ve'elonei Mamre. Abraham Avinu the sick. Right? God came to visit him. So you also go and visit the sick. Visiting the sick is hard. You know, I'll tell you something I was thinking of, and I'll mention it. I went to go visit Rabbi Hirsch was sick. You know, Rabbi Hirsch was ill. He said, that guy's better. He was in the hospital for a few days. So I went to go see him in the hospital. And he's fortunate that he has family around here. But if I went, he had one grandson that was there, and they were switching. There was like a guard that he should never have to be there alone. And so I thought to myself, why is it that Rabbi Hirsch is zocha to have such a thing that when he is in the hospital, that there's always somebody there with him?
Because he also knows like a father.
That's right. Rabbi Hirsch, week in and week out, he's got a badge at Providence Hospital, and he goes and visits the Jewish people. And that's the way it should be. You don't do it for that reason. Doesn't do it for that reason. That's the way it should be. You know. You take care of other people, but it's also make sure that that you're taken care of as well. You know, how many of us, you have some extra time, you know, I'll just tell you a story. It's a mind-boggling story. It happened a few weeks ago. So sometimes I'll call people, most of you have one or a time or another gotten a call from me on Erev Shabbos. So I called somebody on Erev Shabbos, and she says to me, Rabbi, we were talking, she's feeling better, she was a relatively younger woman in our community, and she said, I want to do something also. I said, you know what? There's a certain woman in the community that doesn't get out very much. She doesn't come to shul. She never comes to classes. I want you to give her a call. Maybe go over to see her. And she said, okay, I can do that. In fact, she even knew who she was. And so I saw her in shul on Shabbos, the first woman, and she said, thank you so much for asking me to call this woman. Because when I called her, she said, I'm so glad you're calling me. You must be calling me to be Menachem Avel, because I just lost my brother and I just got up from shiva. And nobody knew. Because nobody knew. You know? So there are, you know, it's not just going to visit in the hospital. There are people in our community who we all know who they are, who don't go out. They can't go out. It's hard for them. They're sick. They're not well. They're tired. They're whatever. Because God did it. Down to time. You know? That's also important. Yeah?
Well, you know what? I go, if you can't deal with people, it's always better than this, but I go on Facebook, over to you on this, or help out from
them. That's good. That's one second. There's more. Because Baruch Hu Nichem Avelim, God consoled the Avelim, the mourners. You see, by He Acharei Moshe Abraham, when Yivarech Elohim Nisi Yitzchak Beno. So, Av Atan Nichem Avelim. You should also be involved in consoling consoling the mourners. That we do. We're pretty good about that.
Yeah.
Kadosh Baruch Hu kavar meishim. God buried the dead. Who did God bury?
Moshe
Rabbeinu. Dichtiv vayikaver oto bagai. Af atak kavar meishim. You also should bury the dead. So you would think, when I read this Gemara, it blows your mind. You think, be like God. So normally you think, be like God. God is righteous. God is holy. You're thinking all these exalted things. What's the best way to be like God? Close yourself up in a room, take a book of Tehillim, and start reading. And don't stop. Just keep going. You're going to become holier and holier and holier till you and the Tehillim are one. So first of all, the Chinuch said clearly not, that there's a middle ground. But the Gemara in Sota says, you know what? You want to be the holy? You want to be like God? Put down the Tehillim. And instead of praying for the sick person, go visit them.
The way you can be holier is by being more human.
That's right. You know, as I said a dress about it. It's crazy. You want to be more like God? Stop worrying about God so much. Stop worrying about your fellow man. Because he's not worried about himself. He's worried about you too. That's heavy stuff. This has been my favorite Gemara this spring, this fall. I mentioned it a few times. So if I repeated it, I'm sorry, but that's okay. It bears repeating.
You're still
stronger,
please.
1072. Moshe commanded, and the elders commanded the nation, saying, Shamur es kol ha-mitzvah asher anochi mitzaveh etchem hayom. Pasuk bet. Pasuk aleph. Keep all the mitzvahs that I command you today. Pasuk bet. V'haya. I'm on 1072. Pasuk bet. V'haya. And it will be. Everybody with me?
Yeah.
Okay. Bayom asher ta'avu et hayarden. El ha'aretz asher Hashem elokecha noten lach. The day you cross over the Yarden, the Jordan River, to the land that God gives you. V'ha'keimos alecha avanim gedolos. You should put up big stones. V'shadita otam basid. And you have to plaster them with plaster. V'katavta aleihen. Eit kol divrei ha'torah hazos be'avracha. And you should write on them all of the words of Torah as you pass. Leman, so that asher tavor el haaretz asher Hashem elokecha noten lecha eretz zavat chalav udivash kasher diber Hashem elokei avotech alach, so that you will enter into the land of Israel, the land flowing with milk and honey, God, as God has promised you. So in a nutshell, what did Moshe Rabbeinu just command the Jewish people?
Build a fence.
When you get there, as you pass through, take 12 stones. Why 12?
Christ.
And on those stones you plaster them, and then you put the, and you write the Torah on those 12 stones. And the rabbis derive that they should write the Torah on those 12 stones in 70 languages.
Well,
not all 70, but
those are the new languages at the time.
Interesting question is, who knew all 70 languages? That's a good question. So I have two comments. One, depends how big the stones were. And if you write very small, if you know how to write really, 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 really small, it could be done. So some say that's what they did. Huge stones, small writing. And others say it was an ace. They did it, but it was one of those things. Take our word for it. Right, that's how it happened. Okay? Next, so the Torah continues. Dalet. The Hayah, and it will be, the Avrechem et HaYarden, when you pass over the Yarden, Takilu et HaAbanim HaEleth, Asher Anochi Mitzaveh Sam Hayom, Behar Eivav. I want you to take these stones, erect these stones that I'm telling you about in Har Eivav, the Shadita Otam Bashid. And you should plaster them with plaster. Uvanita sham mizbeach l'Hashem elokecha, and you should build a mizbeach to God. Mizbach avanim lo tanif aleihem barzel, an altar of stone, no ironworks. Avanim shleimot tivne, build whole stones. At mizbach Hashem elokecha, you should build the mizbeach. V'ha'alita alav olot l'Hashem elokecha, and there you will offer offerings. Mizabachta shlamim ve'achalta sham. You'll also offer a shlamim. The difference between a shlamim and an ola. An ola goes all to God. Shlamim means
people.
Some for the people. Very good. Mizabachta lifnei Hashem elokecha. You should rejoice before God. V'chatavta al ha'avanim et kol divrei ha'torah hazot ba'er heitei. If you write on these stones all the words of the Torah, ba'er heitei means, what does ba'er heitei mean? 70 languages. Yeah. Here's my question. What in the world are the stones for? Why in the world does God want them to write the Torah on these stones?
Because that won't fade, it'll stay all the time.
What?
The stones will not fade, it stays for a whole time.
What do you need them there for? You build it. First of all, where were the stones built? Where were they? Where?
No.
On Har Eivav.
Which one?
Har Eivav.
Har Eivav.
Towards the entrance
by the
Jordan River. So, So where were they? Were they in the Jordan River or were they in the Harivah? Which one? Both. Very good. In fact, Rashi says there were 3 sets of stones, and that they erected 36 stones, 12 in the Yarden, the Jordan River, 12 on Har Eval, and 12 in the Gilgal, in the Galilee, when they first encamped. So here's my question: what are they for?
To remember them. There's no books. How will they remember?
Interestingly enough, in its simplest reading, in the simplest interpretation, what? Yeah. It's, you know what though? That's why you have Sifrei Torah. Everybody lived near Har Eiv. What?
This is not portable.
And therefore?
It's permanent.
So it's a sign for everyone who sees it.
For?
When you enter.
A sign of Hashem's glory. Hashem.
You deserve whatever. Okay, great.
No, maybe
fine.
When you enter, you're being reminded that there's all these different languages, and you are a stranger, and you enter, and you see it in your language, you are being reminded that you enter special ground, and there are special rules that apply to the ground.
Who is being reminded?
The strangers and the people that erected the stones.
First and foremost, it's the Jewish people.
But if
it's also remember, most of the Jews, they all can't read. How would they know how to read?
Right. So what's the point of writing it down if you can't
Those who read can tell the other them.
Right. And they've never seen the Torah. The Torah was never written. Right? When is the Torah finally finished?
When
Moshe died.
Yeah.
So they've never seen it. So how are they all supposed to universally accept it if they've never really seen it? They accepted whatever Moshe told them. But, you know, here it is, right in front of you. Take a look. Read whatever you want. You know? But even more so than that, it's a monument. It's a monument. As you pass by that monument, when you enter into the land of Israel, what are you saying? I'm in God's land. And I understand when I pass by this, that I enter this land, I get this land on condition of those stones. Right. Those stones. So that now I've explained to you, we can understand why in the world they have to have the stones at the Yarden. What in the world are they having the stones at Har Eval for?
Who's on top?
Why in the world would you have those stones at Har Eval? What?
Where should see them better?
At Har Eval?
Where is that?
What?
Where is
it? Very good.
Where?
And so the blessings and the curses were Har Grizim and Har Eval. But that only, the blessings and curses, we're not going to read through them. But if you remember, God tells Moshe, half of the people have to be on Har Grizim, half of them on Har Eval, and they did what's called the brachos and the klalos. If you keep the Torah, then you have good things. Amen. If you don't keep the Torah, you'll be cursed. Amen. Right? Remember? Amen. Amen. They're all like, you know, saying amen. Probably like the coolest davening ever, like a million people in the valley. Anyway.
We had to stand
by
who made us do that.
What?
We had to stand, and everything that they said, we had to say amen.
Who? During the Torah reading?
No, afterwards in his speech.
Which rabbi?
Young Israel of Oak Woods.
Which rabbi? How did that go over?
I mean, my husband and I, we were beside ourselves. And Zelda.
Selma.
They didn't like that, huh? You didn't like
all
that?
All the others were very
enthralled.
All right, different strokes for different folks, you know? Yes. Where are the mountains? Anybody know where the mountains are?
Oh.
I was there. The mountains are above a certain city in Israel, in today what's called the Shomron. All right, of course, by the way, these are occupied territories. We have no right to them. They only permeate the entire Torah. Okay? Anybody know what city?
Karnay.
Nope.
Ephraim.
Shem.
Shem.
Shem is surrounded by Har Grizim and Har Eval. Okay? So you say to me, Whoop-dee-doo. Big deal. Why in the world does God want them? Now, listen to the language of the Torah. You know how far it is? How far is it from the Jordan River to Shechem? How far? Take a guess. I mean, you know basically.
30 miles.
20 miles?
Well said. 20 miles. Okay. Whatever. Okay.
Is it?
Shez v'nidras. Shez v'nidras. This is actually Gemara.
When it's warm, anything is fine. Everything is fine. It's thirsty.
Bo, hey, Kama Nisim Nashigol Sayam. Look at the miracles that happened that day. Abu Yisrael es Hayarden. They passed the Jordan River. Ubar Lahar Grizim Ulahar Eval Yoter Mishishi Mil. More than 60 mil. 20 miles, whatever it is. The Ein Kol Ber Yachol Amod Bifnehem. Nobody stopped it. What? The whole nation had to travel 20 miles for what? That's what I'm asking you. For what? What happened in Shechem that's so important that they go to Shechem, and that's where they have to plant these 12 stones, write the whole thing again. You need to have plaster. You know how long it takes plaster?
That's where the
Moses
destroys the
check there.
Yeah, that's true.
That's where you...
That's what the brothers told Joseph, true.
Also, where they destroy all the people in Shechem?
Yes. Right? Shechem is clearly this, you know, hot button place.
Shimon and David.
What else? Yeah, that's right. The brothers killed. What else? What else? Nobody knows? Oh. Okay. Nowadays. It is not a Jewish city today.
No.
It sounds like a Jewish
city. Not anymore. Page 56.
She's a different.
Oh, chapter. Your debt, pasuk vav. This is Avram and his cohort, his people. Valeches Arta Kanan, Vayavo Arta Kanan. Vayavor Avram Ba'aretz, Ad Nekom Shechem, Ad Elon Moreh. Abraham passed into the land, to the place of Shechem, to Elon Moreh. V'Hakanani Az Ba'aretz. What does that mean, the Kananim were there? Right. Even though the Canaanim were there, Abraham is still walking around. Vayira Hashem el Avram vayomer lezaracha etain et haaretz hazos. To your children I will give this land. Vayiven sham mizbeach laHashem hanira ela. And Abraham built an altar to God who appeared to him. What does God say to the Jewish people to do when they get to Shechem and when they get to Elon Moreh, when they get to Shechem? When they get to Har Eval,
build an altar.
And to bring offerings for them, for God, but also offerings for them to enjoy, to make it a yantar. Why are the Jewish people getting this land? For two reasons. One, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu promised it to Abraham Avinu. So in order to fulfill the promise of Abraham Avinu, you have to go to the place where Abraham Avinu went. You have to begin to conquer the land. Yeah, you have to trade first there, because that's where he was first. And if you want to get it because he had it, then you have to do what he did. You have to go to his place, and you have to offer an offering to God like he did. But there's another reason why we're going to get the land. What's the other reason? Because we keep the Torah. On the one hand, yes, it's chus avos. But on the other hand, we have to earn it ourselves. We got here because of Abraham Avinu, but we'll stay here if we keep the Torah. And it's for this reason that God said, yeah, sure, when you enter the land, it's nice to build the stones, but you've got to build another one over here. Because everybody has to see, and it has to be another monument. And then you do the brachos and the klelos, it makes it clear. Everyone understands the blessings and the curses come for only one reason. Because the Torah is there for us to keep. And when we keep the Torah, the blessings will come. And God forbid, lo aleinu, When we don't keep the Torah, the blessings don't come. And when we, it's almost like a handoff in a sense. When we get to Elon Moreh, when we get to Shechem, and we build those stones, and we write the Torah down, it's like Abraham Avinu, he finally says, I have what God promised to me, now I'm passing it on to you. I did my part, you have to do your part. You know, and I think, you know, we began by talking about our brothers and our sisters in Israel, and for their well-being. And even here in Oak Park, it's incumbent upon us to try to find ways to make the Torah more palatable to Jews everywhere. To bring about, not through negativity, but through positiveness and good relationships, this idea that people will understand that the Jewish people will survive and thrive most, not when we, you know, build cultural museums or invest, you know, in unnecessary things, but when we keep the words of the Torah, when we follow, when we walk in God's ways, when we care about one another, only then will we be guaranteed. How does he say it? The Torah says, "L'ma'an asher tavo el ha'aretz asher Hashem Elokecha notein lach," so that you will go to the land, Eretz Zavat Chalav Nivash, land of milk and honey. Kasher diber Hashem Elokeha Moshe Chalach. If we want God's promise, then we have to keep our promise in return.